Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Roger North, and this is True North. Today's going to be a very special show. It's going to be a topic that's kind of at the heart and soul of what the elite do in order to enslave us. It's going to be on false flag terror. Essentially, what's happened is if you look back over virtually every major event that's occurred over the last couple decades, for example, World War II, the bringing of the police state in this country, they've all been based on false flag terror at the end of the day. This is kind of the elite's ultimate trump card, what allows them to bring in their Orwellian state. And you can see time and time again, for example, in World War II, the actual incident that started it was Gleichowitz, which was basically a small radio station in Poland that was claimed to be invaded by the Polish. In Germany, it was supposedly invaded by the Polish. You can look back over history, Gulf of Tonkin coming to mind, Oklahoma City, 9/11. You see the same pattern of basically endless false flag terror being used to justify bringing the Orwellian police state. To discuss more about false flag terror and how it's done and how it works, we have Ole Damgaard. I hope I pronounced that right. He's going to be joining us. His website is lightonconspiracies.com. That's lightonconspiracies.com. With this, I'll bring Ole into the show. Ole?
I'm here.
Yeah, good. Yeah, as we're right near September 11th, as I mentioned in my email to you, I wanted to really talk about false flag terror, and I was actually going through your website and looking at you. You were talking about this because, to me, this is probably the most potent weapon that the elite have for bringing in all kinds of things. Like they could, for example, have been for September 11th, the anniversary is coming in a couple of days, they would not have been able to have brought in, the Homeland Security and, had war with Iraq and all this other stuff. So I think it's really important that we understand basically how these things work. And I know you, last time we talked, you very brilliantly explained a great deal of depth how they go about, performing these assassinations. And the more we understand how false flags are done, the better off we're going to be, because the easier we're going to be able to see it. Another reason I wanted to do this is I think the government's on the verge of doing a major false flag terror right now to justify going after, Tea Party and, conservatives, gun owners, returning veterans, Tea Party members, anyone who values their freedom. So I wanted to really, talk with you right before September 11th about false flag terror, how it's done, and what your own research has shown.
I think the area you're getting close to now is extremely, extremely important, because this has been, they're using templates that was created by the old Romans and that have been used for decades and decades, centuries actually.
Thousands of years, really, I know, literally, yes.
It's the only thing is that they've modernized it and now it's gone more sort of into the digital world. But the false flag operations are key to their whole agenda. Mm-hmm. And the one they keep using is problem, reaction, solution. Mm-hmm. They secretly create a problem to get a reaction from the population, and the reaction they're looking for is always an emotional reaction, so you don't use your brain, but the emotional reaction, and the one they're looking for is like, oh my God, something needs to be done, and then the population turns towards me, who they're not aware of was the one who secretly created the problem, to ask for the solution, which I will then offer, and the solution is every single time you have to give up your liberties. You have to accept more militarized police. You have to accept drones. You have to accept the legal system totally pushing you into a corner where you have absolutely no rights left and so on. And I would say, just like you very correctly pointed out, in the Second World War, all the major events were false flag operations. That was, and before the Vietnam War, before the Iraq War, the Afghan War, all of them are based on false flag operations. So sure. I think this is an extremely important area we're into now.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention is it seems to me the two main components of their evil plan to enslave the world, one is they have to take out key people at key moments such as JFK, and we were discussing that before, to prevent him from you know, actually doing things that actually would have made America better. For example, getting rid of the Fed or breaking the CIA into 1,000 pieces. And the other big component is that's more of like a defensive thing. But on offense, there are two big tactics. One is totalitarian tiptoe, with the David Icke term, and that's why slowly introduce, you know, their evil. But the other thing is problem, reaction, solution, and that's why I want to be focusing on this show. And problem, reaction, solution almost invariably involves some kind of a false flag terror at the beginning. And the better people can get at recognizing it, the better off we're going to be, because it's like why they've had such trouble selling the war with Syria, where a year ago they had a Sarin gas attack that supposedly was done by the Syrian government, except it was exposed as a false flag. And so that was at least delayed. Now, of course, they're busily trying to start it again. And if you go look back over history, as you say, virtually every major war, in fact, you know, they say in war, the first casualty of war is truth, every tyranny has got its roots, I would say, in false flag terror of some form. I mean, I can think of, for example, the burning of the Reichstag building by the Nazis. And, you know, I'm sure there are probably thousands of examples. I mean, even the few I know of, and I could go on for hours on that, but what I really want to do is you know, maybe talk about a couple really well-known false flag terror and their template, because the better we understand the template, the less likely we are to be conned by it. It's like, for example, when the Boston Marathon happened and they, you know, I immediately knew it was false flag. And after a while, you just get to sensing that. And I want my audience to be able to, when they see it, to understand that they're being scammed, because if you understand the structure of a scam, you can't be scammed.
Once again, you're spot on. I spent 30 years of my life dedicated to try and reveal what is going on, and mm-hmm. I found some very clear bullet point lists that they follow, almost mm-hmm. like we're talking about, like templates,
sure.
One that goes for assassinations and one that goes for terror acts.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the Terror Act one is one that is being used on an incredibly recurring rate now, because they're speeding everything up. It
mm-hmm.
used to be, you know, they used to have pride in their conspiracies and a lot of preparation, good budget, really skilled people. But I think now when there's this global awakening, there's a massive global awakening going
mm-hmm.
on, much more than you see in normal press, because normal media will support their version. But
mm-hmm.
there's an incredible awakening going on, and putting the spotlight on them, exposing their tactics, exposing their methods and so on, which are making them very nervous, in my opinion. And this is why they're speeding everything up, trying to get us into the corral before it's too late for their plan to go through. So
sure.
I've spent, I made countless interviews, and one of
mm-hmm.
the things I do is to expose the exact methods, exactly so you say, so that
mm-hmm.
normal people will see what's going on and possibly be part of defusing them before they even get carried out. Because once you start see how they prepare and pull it off, then the sooner we can be become aware of it, the bigger the chance to stop them.
Absolutely. Well, let's go through this template right now, because this to me is extremely important, because the very fact that more people are aware of the template, you know, like I said, the more people are aware, the less likely they are to do it, because, you know, even if they're not successful, still people have been killed. I mean, 9/11 did cause 3,000 people to die. Oklahoma City did cause 168, I believe. So let's go through the template and then let's really explore that.
Okay. The one I would like to focus on here is the Terror Act, the so-called Terror Act. To carry these things out, they need a boogeyman. They need an external enemy to be able to justify whatever agenda they're pushing forward. So what they do, do you know, in the old days, if you take, for instance, in the 70s, when the CIA and the elite was trying to take over the different Latin countries, what they did and what they learned from was they went in and they supported a local military compilation of generals and violent people in that country. And with the help and support of the CIA, they went in and, for instance, in Chile, we're talking 9/11. It was exactly on 9/11, 1973, that they overtook and killed the elected president, Salvador Allende. So what happened was that this military, small group of military people took over in a very quick time. I mean, it was more or less overnight. But what happened then was that, okay, they were in a position of power, but from that point on, when the population woke up to the fact that the country had been taken over by military, they started having massive problems with uprisings, guerrilla movements, demonstrations, all these type of things, also international boycotts and so on. So in what they had to do was they had to do mass arrests. They filled like big stadiums with prisoners. They had to torture them to find out their connections and other people that could be future enemies and so on. They had to mass execute them. They had, it got really, really messy. And in the end, they had to have almost as many soldiers in the streets as there were people in the population. So that is not the way to go. Instead, what they do now is they secretly create a problem. We're back to the problem reaction solution. Where
very important.
Where they and one of the things they want drama, you know, they because it's through media they pump out this thing, and it's fear that is the main weapon of theirs. So bombs are one of their favorites because that's really, you know, it's like a film screen. You have blood and explosions and smoke and dead bodies. It's perfect for them. So what they do, let's say that I'm the one, I'm the one in so-called power. I'm one of the elite few. And in my country, I want the police to, I mean, almost like in your country, and I look like RoboCops. I want them to be able to kick in doors without warrants. I want the drones to be able to fly around and kill people without anyone knowing why. I want the tanks in the streets and so on. If I just did that, you know, I'm the one in power in my country. I could just do that, but then I would have this massive problem: uprisings, boycotts, demonstrations, guerrilla movement, all of these type of things. So that is not the clever way to do it. Instead, what I do is I create this problem, and this is in the form of a bomb. It's very important where I place it. It needs to be in a public place so that it will affect as many people as possible. You know, often in a place like in a train station, big warehouse, some public place, central, so that as many will feel affected, like maybe they're on their way to drop off their kids, they're on their way to work or anything like that, so that they could have been there, even if they were not hurt or killed. In the, their life will be heavily affected by what is coming. So it needs to be placed in a very public place, and one of the main things that they use is, the key thing is, children and women. Women and children, that's the key thing. It doesn't work if you place a bomb in a barn out in the countryside and blow up a few cows, or if you go in a home for elderly people. That won't work. It's the emotional thing they're going for. So they're aiming for daycare center, hospitals, things where women and children are killed, because that's the one they want to pump out in media. So I place the bomb somewhere close to where there are like daycare centers, hospitals, anything like that. Also, they really like nuns and nurses, you know, so if they can blow up a few of those, or if these are involved afterwards in the, you know, helping the wounded or the dead or things like that, it's to get the emotion going. The timing of the explosion is also really important. So what they try to do is they often go for early in the morning when you're not really awake, you know, when you that's when you're the most vulnerable. So this is the reason why these bombs don't go off in the middle of the night or late in the evening. It's more or less always 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, something like that, when you've just woken up, you had your first coffee, you're not really awake, but on your way, you know, stressed for work or something. That's when you go, and when breakfast TV is on standby. Also, while I prepare the bomb and all of these things, I also prepare a patsy, because I need someone to blame and take the fall for it. this patsy can be someone that I have problems with anyway, an enemy of mine. It can be like the truth movement, the veterans, the homeless, you name it. Whatever, if it's a bomb, I can, it can be a group or an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is, while preparing for everything else, I also prepare a lot of false evidence that was point straight at this group. As soon as the bomb goes off, I can point, it's the patsy. Okay, so the evidence is prepared, the patsy is being prepared, the bomb is being put in location, and the way the bomb is put there is very often that they arrange for a drill. It's a drill of the exact same scenario that will go off live.
Mm-hmm.
So this you will see repeated 9/11, 7/7, the Madrid bombings, the Oslo mass shootings and bombs there. It's a thing that comes again and again, this drill. Boston had it as well. So
yes.
That people that are involved in the drill have absolutely no idea that when suddenly this thing goes live, they still think it's a drill. You know, in the London bombings, some of the police officers that was involved in the drill, when the bombs went off in the exact same subway station as in the drill, and people were coming out blown to pieces, smoke everywhere, the police was just standing there saying, oh, my God, it looks so real. It's incredible what they can do nowadays
mm-hmm.
with makeup and so on. Instead of understanding, people are dying right in front of you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So the drill is something to be very, very aware of. And I would say to the listeners, if you hear about a drill, a so-called terror drill, or they're going to train for how to act if there's a mass shooting or a bomb threat or something like that, please be aware that this could very well be a preparation of a real thing, a
mm-hmm.
real false flag. So my suggestion would be if you hear about a thing like that or if you see people setting up what looks like a film stage or something like in your hometown, go there, film them, stream it on YouTube and make it very obvious that they are being observed, you know.
Great
so that
advice.
It could be a drill for good, you
yeah.
know, that is there for your protection and for you to be prepared. But many times, I tell you, many times it is not. So by filming them, there is a possibility of you scaring them off, you know. And also,
yeah.
if, God forbid, it turns into be a real thing, they blow some innocent people up and so on, if the location has been filmed just before the event, it can be incredibly important evidence afterwards when you compare before and after pictures and so on. But make it very obvious that they're being seen, that they're being observed. This is, I think, very important because up until now, more or less every time when we become aware of false flag, it's after it's happened. I want to see it
Good.
Turned around. I want us to defuse them before they take off, you know, before they're carried out.
That's
and
brilliant.
I really believe that.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but... Sure. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very important point. I just want to really emphasize. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we've all got this power. That when there's the kind of environments where they're likely to do a false flag, the very fact that people are filming them that they're not going to be able to get away with it. This is the power one person has, just by being at the right place, the right time, or wrong place, the wrong time. They can prevent a false flag terror. And I just wanted to emphasize that. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
I tell you, without polishing my own halo, I truly believe that I managed to defuse a possible false flag massacre in Copenhagen at the latest Bilderberg meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I can come back to that. I'm just
sure.
telling that not to boost my own ego, but to show that it is possible for one person to stop a thing like that. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you are just aware of the signs, if you're just aware of what could be going on, so I'll get back to that later. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
the patsy is prepared. The bomb is in location. Very often also you can see on the stock market that there's a lot going on coming up to the date when this goes off, which will, once you backtrack it, you will see inside the trading. People are aware of it. People in power positions are aware of what is going to happen because these strategies, you think, oh, my God, it will – made people lose a lot of money. It's a massive tragedy. I tell you, people make billions out of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So be aware of what's going on as well in the stock market and things. Sometimes when it comes to the big hits, they often pull them off on a Friday or on a Friday afternoon, local time. And I would suggest that is the reason for that is that this goes for assassinations as well on a high level, that as soon as the shots are fired, the person is dead or the bomb has exploded, then the stock market will close out of respect for the dead. Sorry, not the case. They close because that will give them Friday, Saturday, Sunday to prepare everything, get everything in position, you know, get locked down the currencies and these type of things. And then on Monday morning when they open up, billions have been made. Absolute
mm-hmm.
billions. So be aware of Fridays, because that is often, they did it with JFK and many of them, with the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme. Both of these events were almost the all-time high of the stock market. People made billions. Also, the building that the bomb will be placed in is very often, if not always, owned by someone inside the elite group. And this building will most of the time have some kind of problem, you know, maybe a crack in the foundation,
mm-hmm.
asbestos, some kind of building defect that would cost millions to repair.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one example.
Yeah,
so, but very exactly like you say, because in that way they will pull out, you know, or get millions from, or billions sometimes, out of the insurance money from the bomb that they placed on themselves. So you will see, just before this event takes off, the insurance policy will be changed to include terror acts or whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. You will see that would happen like within a week or two before this event. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So location is prepared. The bomb is placed there by paramilitary groups or military or you know, like Secret Service, MI6, FBI. FBI is very crucial in these false flags in the States. Every single time, as far as I've been able to find out, they have trained, equipped, and prepared whatever bombs and so on that is being used. So the FBI, sorry, not the good guys in this case. They are very much involved. So we have the Patsy prepared. And then while all of this is taking place, I also prepare my own investigation. Very important to understand. The investigation is part of the crime. They are part of the crime. And this investigation it's people that I control, you know, many times through Freemasonry or something. I control the key people. And as soon as the bomb goes off or the shots are fired, in goes my own investigation, knocks out or push to the side all normal, decent, honest police officers, inspectors, detectives, and so on, push to the side. So that my investigation goes in, and the only task they have is to say, the Patsy, the Patsy, the Patsy, the Patsy. They went that away, they went that away, they went that way. Anywhere else than towards the real truth. Their task is also to deal with the media, and when somebody like myself, people are too curious and too stubborn and won't give up, they will then direct certain teams of what they call cleaners that will intimidate, beat up, or even kill or suicide people that won't back off, you know. Scary, scary thing, because the people you think are there to protect you, to find out the real truth, are part of the crime. Very important to understand. So
mm-hmm.
these are the people you cannot trust. Okay. So let's see. We got the bomb in place. We got the Patsy prepared. We got the evidence against him prepared. We got the investigation, and everything is on standby. So it comes to the point where it's time to pull the whole thing off. So I wait there, 8:30, everything is on standby. TV that I control to a major extent are prepared. Not that they know about it, but they're inside, you know, through the main editors and so on. They're somehow aware of it. You go figure. Very often, once again, through Freemasonry Network and so on. So around 9:30, okay, he's just on his way to work, they just dropped off their kids, and boom, off it goes. And out through media, you spread these awful, awful, awful images of blown-up children, blown-up women, dead bodies, blood, smoke, all of this. And straight after, it will only be within a minute or two, you will hear the reporter on site saying, oh, my God, we need to do something about whoever it is that whatever agenda the solution they're presenting. If it's the truth movement, it would be within a minute or two. Oh, my God, it must be the truth movement. It must be bin Laden. Oh, it was Saddam Hussein. Oh, it was whoever they're aiming at. Or we need the more strict gun control. Or we need. It will be presented together with a newscast. So within minutes, you will know what is it they're trying to push on us, you know. But sometimes they will interview people in the street, and just like with 9/11, I mean, within minutes, people in the street knew that it was too weak the whole thing was too weak, it couldn't handle the high temperatures and so on. Where did that come from? We were just talking about anyone in the street, and he already knew about the Twin Towers, whole structure and everything. So these people also sometimes directly involved in the crime, only there to dupe the population.
I didn't know that. Wow.
You will also see that, for instance, on 9/11, in many of the assassinations, when they interview people, you know, like in 9/11, all of the people interviewed live on TV were somehow connected to the five different networks, TV networks.
Jeez.
You know, they were either the wife of an executive or somebody working in the cafeteria or somebody working in the sport department. All of them were connected directly to these networks. So once again, very important, don't buy into it. You know, do not buy into it. Take a step back, observe, and record. Record, because within the first hour, there's a lot of things coming out, you know, by reporters who are not aware of what is really going on. And before that is shut down, it normally takes an hour or two before they start shutting down the loose ends type of. And that is where you can find out a lot of important information. You know, for instance, in the 7/7 bombings in London, within the first hour, there were reports of four people being shot dead down in the Docklands in London. Okay, these four people just disappeared afterwards, never to be heard of in news. They're not in the official story at all. This is typical. So as soon as you hear a thing like that, push the record button. Record everything you can about these things, because this can be crucial afterwards to try and find out what actually happened.
Sure.
Okay, so...
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say I might be disconnected after an hour. Then I need to record, because I know sometimes this happens. Or if I get disconnected, this happens also very often when I talk about these things. So I'll just call you back straight away, okay?
No problem. I've had that happen before. I wanted to kind of interject you a few points. If you look at the template he's describing, first of all, it's a variant of the template for the assassinations. And when he mentioned, for example, the thing about where news will come out like in the first hour you never hear again, I was thinking about that supposed doorman at John Lennon's apartment building.
Yeah, yeah.
As an example, it's a very variation on the assassination template, except for, because if you're doing a bombing or something like that, major terrorist act, it has to be a lot more complicated because you need more people involved. But it's the same basic template, but it's a variation of the assassination template that we talked about last time. The other thing is, when you're describing all this stuff, I kept thinking 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, because virtually everything matched up. And when, for example, you're talking about where you make sure a lot of children are killed, I was thinking, of course, Oklahoma City, where they had the daycare center at the Alfred Murrah Building. And, you know, the drills, and it literally, you can, as you look back over these different terror incidents, you'll see that they followed the script almost to the T. And it's amazing. Like, for example, they were accusing bin Laden, like, within an hour or something like that, right when the bombs went off. You know, for example, they had the thing where at the very beginning they actually filmed the countdown where they were going to you know, bring down World Trade Center 7, which, of course, they don't ever want to talk about. And so what you're seeing, you can actually see the template in action if you really look back, because you'll see, like, these, like the training exercises, for example, they had, was it Operation Vigilant Warrior or something like that, where they were, you know, doing these terror drills, supposedly, about planes being, you know, attacking these buildings at the same time. So if you really think back, take 9/11 as a good template because it's the best known, but it's true of the London bombings, it's true of the, you know, Oslo, it's true of any of them. You see this template again and again. And, you know, this is like how I knew, for example, that the Boston bombings, right when they happened, when I heard about the drill right off the bat, because people were talking about that moments before. In fact, they interviewed this guy who was like a participant. He was talking about that they were announcing a drill and not to be upset. I knew right then and there. And by knowing about these things, and I really want to emphasize this point, if you find yourself in, God forbid, a situation where you think something like this is happening, if you start filming it, if you start, you know, live streaming it, this can prevent it from happening, because all these things depend on secrecy. All these things depend on people not knowing what's going on. And the more people that know about false flags, the less effective they are. And, you know, it's like, you know, this is why, like, the one with the sarin gas last year failed. I mean, obviously those people died, but it didn't lead to war. And you've seen time and time again false flags. I mean, this has been done thousands upon thousands of times over literally the millennia. You're right, it goes back to Roman times. It's been perfected. And I want people to really get that this is being constantly done. You're constantly being scammed by these. And, you know, and like I said, this is probably their favorite trick in their bag of tricks to bring about this global enslavement.
I've spent 30 years of my life. I put myself on the line. I've had people murdered around me, close friends. I had to leave my country and so on. So I'm not saying this lightly. I have not come across a real terrorist to this very day.
Wow.
I tell you, it's unreal when you look at it. The more you dig into more or less all of the ones that I looked into leads back to the same elite group, or they call themselves the elite, I call them the minority, or the lightless. But it goes back to the same group, and many times they've used the same mechanics, the same killers. And nowadays, where many of these false flags are not even real events, I mean, they're staged film events that are just being pumped out through media where nobody gets killed, you know, where the whole thing is just set up, where they use actors. You can go to crisisactors.org and sign up if you want to join one of these groups, where they try to keep it into as small group as possible of the people involved to be able to control them. So they're even using the same actors. I mean, it's really sloppy.
I heard that. I think I heard something like the Santa Barbara shootings, that there were some people at Santa Barbara shootings who were also like at, I think, Sandy Hook or something. And it's like an actor. Oh, you see the actor in this movie, and then you see him in that movie. I mean, I believe something like that happened with Santa Barbara. Ironically, I was driving right by Santa Barbara at that time. I'd just gotten back from San Luis Obispo because I like live in Southern California. But yeah, where it's literally gotten that point. I think someone actually found literally that one or several of the people. It just like they're playing roles in a movie, and you notice the same actor, you know, in different roles in different movies.
This is it. But it's just becoming really sloppy, because in the old days, and one of the people I get a lot of information from is Chip Tatum. He's a whistleblower now, but he for 25 years he was a deep cover CIA agent. He was a Night Stalker pilot, you know, one of these black helicopters. He was one of the Iran-Contras pilots flying weapons out of the States and loads of cocaine into the States, starting the whole crack epidemic. Involving George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. deeply involved personally in receiving the drugs and distributing them in Mena, Arkansas.
Yeah.
But he was also the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private hit team, Pegasus, and they did at least 17 global assassinations under his command. Anyway, I'm in personal contact with him and so on. He has been involved in false flag operations as well. And what he says is that they have, like, you know, like ordinary, like staff meetings where they go through what is it we want to accomplish, what type of thing is it that we want to push through that we can't do without a false flag. Is it too violent? Will people not accept it if we don't do it through a false flag? Okay, let's do a false flag then. And then they have a meeting right after the event to just see was the effect accomplished or do we have to amplify it? And very often they have to go in and readjust what, like Chip said, to amplify the effect requested. So many times you will see, for instance, the so-called beheading in Woolwich in London, absolute stage event, nobody died, so badly done. But they didn't really get the real effect that they wanted. So what they did was straight after that, they did a second one in Paris just across the channel just to amplify it. You know, it was almost identical and just to boost it. Once again, totally stage effect, but through media. Media is the key for them, the black box in front of you, pumping you with all of this mostly false information.
Okay. The beheadings, that reminds me of what's happened with these journalists. We're knowing a second journalist that was supposedly killed. The first one was considered widely a fake thing, and I believe the journalist though is dead. And now, I mean, it reminds me of what's going on where ISIS, which of course is just LCIADA under yet another name, you know, it's
another name of the boogeyman.
What? Boogeyman. Yeah, right.
ISIS,
boogeyman.
It's just another name of the boogeyman because they ran out, you know, with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is actually the name of the database that CIA created for the agents
Robin Cook
trained, equipped, all of that. So all of these so-called things that are being blamed on Al-Qaeda, it's just Al-Qaeda, you can just exchange it with boogeyman. Exchange that name with boogeyman, not real, but the boogeyman. And now they've done like, you know, like if you film Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, when you come to Rocky 18, it's not easy to keep the impact up, you know. People are not buying it anymore. So you need to change it, you know. So now the new boogeyman, ISIS, you know. It's almost like calling Jim Carrey. When you need a new character, a new, you know, one of these super criminal types of things to scare people. But it's just not true. It's the same. It is the same.
Sure.
And many times when I go through different terror acts, so-called terror acts, you know, I get really tired of repeating myself when you go into the different details because it's just the same and the same and the same. And we are buying it. This is the incredible thing, that we keep buying it.
Sure.
So I would say when you look at a false flag operation, please be aware of it. It is like looking at a magician, you know. He's pulling off a trick. You know it's not magic. You know he's doing it somehow. And he wants you to focus on his left hand, saying, this is where it happens. Look at the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Behind his back, that is where the so-called magic happens. So when they try to divert your attention, you know, like this can also sometimes false flag operation can also be done to divert the attention away from more important things. Be aware of what is going around to the right, to up, down, everywhere else but where they want you to look. You know, they did that with Bill Clinton. Oh, did he get a blowjob or did he not? The whole world was looking for months in that direction instead of seeing what was actually being pulled off, you know. And it continues like that. When you have these major things where, you know, like in the end of March this year, there was a trial started where this English Queen Elizabeth II of Windsor and the former Pope were subpoenaed to Brussels, to a people's court there with international lawyers, international judges.
Kevin, I have him on my show, yes.
Excellent. And the charges were child genocide. I mean, very heavy accusations. So did you see that in media? Did you see that in the world press? I mean, this is incredible news. Absolutely not. I don't think a single one has seen it. So how did they manage to pull that one off? I was just waiting to see how are they going to do it? Because, I mean, this is major. And then this Malaysian airplane popped up or disappeared, whatever you want to call it. Like, so the whole world media was like looking, it's here, no, it's there. It's up, no, it's down. It's to the left, it's to the right.
Yeah.
And just diverting the attention away from the
important. I had no idea. I actually fell for that con. I hate to admit it, but yeah. But the thing about that, of course, that was also a total scam because the telemetry from the engines, for example, as it was pointed by one radio show host, the telemetry from the engines goes back to the Coventry City, I believe, England, because they're the Rolls-Royce engines. I mean, they have probably 1,000 ways of tracking that plane with all the electronics, plus all the people. So that was a total scam. But that's an example where they did a false flag, maybe just to distract from the very wonderful work that Kevin Annette was doing of publicly exposing people like the Queen of England.
Yeah, and she's not alone, I tell you. These are
major
networks. And it comes back to the same networks when it comes to guns, drugs, pedophile gangs, oil, wars, terror acts, assassinations. It's the same. It's like a global bully that is terrorizing the neighborhood, and we are not aware of who it is. You know, it's almost like when the Boston Strangler was terrorizing, you know, wherever he was going loose. Everybody was fearful of this person, not knowing who he was. It's the same with the so-called global elite. I think they're the ones behind incredible amount of mayhem in the world.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention.
Very hard to. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to mention one thing. As you say that all major terror events are false flag. I have to say, when you said that, that kind of blew me away. But now I think about it, I know they had something where, like, the FBI had solved, like, in the last 10 years, 20 terror events, but they created them in the first place where, they were just solving their own crimes, or not solving them, but, coming up with a pretend solution to them.
It was 23, and they were involved in all 23 of them.
Yeah, okay, I stand corrected. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the thing is,
I mean, they shouldn't be involved in one single one. My God, what are they doing there? You know,
that's a good
question.
They're
there to protect us, the normal people. My God. But one thing that is even scarier, I think, that I've started to look into lately is, like, this incredible growing amount of so-called serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
These people are also connected to back to the same group, being guarded by these people. You know, people, serial killers that some of them had admitted up to like 600 killings. And what happens? They're released, they're on death row, and suddenly they're pardoned. They've been running to the state of Texas, where Bush, he was known as the butcher because he didn't pardon anyone. And then serial killers like Henry Lee Lucas and people who admitted hundreds of awful, awful murders,
mm-hmm.
suddenly was released. He was the only one pardoned.
Henry Lee Lucas?
Not released, but he was pardoned. He was taken away from death row, by George Bush.
The one that most deserved the death penalty was the one he spared. Somehow that makes total sense. One thing I also wanted to mention about these serial killers, our society does protect serial killers because they're part of the satanic network. For example, Kathy O'Brien, in her book, The Transformation of America, mentioned that her first so-called husband, who was her controller, was actually Wayne Cox, was actually a serial killer. But, he was protected because he was running drugs and, he was serving the cabal and, of course, had mind-control slaves that he was handling on their behalf.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he wasn't the only one. And as she admitted, he could very well commit hundreds of killings. Fortunately, he's dead and gone to whatever dubious reward he's gone to. But the point is, and I'm sure there are many other ones like that where, they never go to jail. He never spent a day in jail, even though he from Kathy's description, he was really bad. And I'm sure there are other ones out there like that. But it's also a way of bringing into this terror society and making people afraid, so they want the police state.
This is it. This is it. And there's this so-called, they call it profiling. And most of us normal people think that serial killers, all of them use like a signature or a very specific way. They're all of them are looking for a special type, you know, maybe red-haired girl, women, 18 years old with long hair, and they leave them, they kill them in the same awful way. They leave them in the same awful way, like a signature killing. Absolutely not correct. When you look into many of these major serial killers, their victims ranges from, you know, children to people of the age of 78. You know, men, women, children, doesn't matter. And many of the hits are, like assassinations, hits done on drug dealers, the competition, people they want to get rid of, and so on. So these are disguised in the spray of killings, you know. So you got, and also when you look at the way many of their victims are killed, they follow the CIA manual for assassins and to the point. So many, I tell you, they're protected by the same elite. They're used as a tool to create terror, because this is one of the things they want. They use what is called the strategy of tension. They want to inflict fear and pain into society so that people would beg for more and more protection. You know, please, please give me more surveillance cameras. Give me more militarized police. Give me more tanks in the street, all for my protection. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. We need to be protected from them.
Well, it reminds me, it's like you have a gang and they'll go to the local merchants and the merchants will have to pay for protection. Of course, who are they being protected from? The gang itself. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. It's a little more sophisticated than the gang where, you know, they'll go in. If you don't want anything bad to happen to your store. In fact, I once knew a girl who basically ran afoul of the Zetas, and they destroyed her dress shop, her store. And when she was living down in Mexico, she told me the story. And the thing is, I mean, basically what you're ultimately getting down to, it's a little more sophisticated, but just like where you have a gang like that where they just very blatantly go into someone's store and say, it'd be a shame if something were to happen in here, and, you know, we can prevent that from happening. I mean, this is basically what it is, a slightly more sophisticated version.
I totally agree with you, and it works on a local basis, you know, on a country basis. Also, you know, they go in, intimidate countries, and in the same way also. You know, so
exactly.
It's just the same templates being used. So I think it's very a very intelligent observation you did there, saying that it's the mob methods as well. You know, they work very closely with the mob. And
they own the mob.
There's no difference. It's the same power tool. And the CIA, which is, and the DIA, which are very central in many of these things as well, together with, like MI6 and Mossad and these. When you look in the power pyramid, you have to be aware of that. Down on the lower levels, they look separated. But once you get up high up in the top of the power pyramid, they are connected. So to say that Mossad was behind 9/11, yes, they were involved. To say that the CIA was behind 9/11, yes, they were involved. The one doesn't exclude the other one.
No, they're all the same organization if you go high enough up. And this is what you're talking about. Where would you go see, if you go look at the people, the frontmen, the titular heads of these organizations, invariably, they're part of secret societies. They're often, for example, they're high Freemasons. They're Knights of Columbus, Knights Templar. And their loyalty is to these secret societies. And they're getting their orders from them. And I know, for example, the NSA, I think they give all their data to Mossad. And Mossad, from what I can see, is kind of like the head intelligence agency. They seem to be kind of coordinating the other intelligence agencies. One thing I wanted to digress just a little bit and talk, as you know, Robin Williams died recently. I don't want to get too much into this because I want to really stand false flag, but this is something that I've been very curious about because, the reasons given by the media, and I think a sure sign that something is fishy is when they give very weak reasons for something. Like, here's Robin Williams. I guess he had some financial troubles. He was about to make a couple of movies he didn't really want to make. I guess he's a little bit depressed, and yet this led him to kill himself, and somehow it's like it smells to me, because it's like, okay, you know, his career maybe was a little bit on the downside, maybe things weren't, you know, weren't going as well as he would have liked. And, you know, I get that, but it doesn't seem like there's any compelling reason. And I was wondering if we could just briefly talk about what you think happened there. I mean, I was hearing this guy, Fritz Springmeier, thought he was a mind-controlled slave, and the way he killed himself was typical of the way they would do that. And, you know, what happened there? Because it doesn't make sense to me. When something doesn't make sense to me, there's probably a reason.
When it comes to this case, I haven't found anything that I can point on directly. I mean, I think it's very important not to just speculate. You know, it's so easy to say that he was killed. Mm. I mean, you need to back it up with proof, you know, and not, it's so easy to get paranoid and say, oh my God, they murdered him. I cannot say with him. What I can say, though, is that he was starring in a film that was called What Dreams May Come, I think. Have you seen it? It's about what happens after you die, and also what happened to his wife when she committed suicide, where she down in this dark, dark, awful, awful place where he was trying to get her back from, a very, very scary place. And it's strange for me that a person so involved in a film like that and spiritually as well would commit suicide. That would, if he believed that, that would take him to this awful, awful place.
Sure.
So
that's a good point.
I want to keep a big question mark around his death.
Yeah,
I mean, it is incredibly sad that a person like that has been lost. I just want to point out as well that within a few days afterwards, one of the top comedians in Sweden died, same age, more or less. And in the media, nothing about how he died. I have no idea. I'm just pointing it out. I have no idea if there's a crime behind it or if he just died naturally. But he was 60-something. Very, not old at all. Very similar type of person, you know, very happy on the outside and then maybe very sad on the inside. I don't know.
Yeah. I understand. I think it's a good point, and I have to acknowledge that I probably am overspecing, because this is how you give it a bad name, because I don't know for a fact what happened with Robin Williams. I just found it a little fishy, but it's that you have to do the work to really know what happened, and if you haven't done the work because you haven't even gotten to it or your work is still inconclusive, you need to just say, well, I don't know, and just let it go at that, because what happens is people will wildly speculate, and I have to be careful about myself, and you know, come up with all kinds of conclusions that aren't based on fact, and then, you know, you're taking a real risk. And the thing is, this is why, I mean, like I said, like a website like InfoWars, and you know, I often plug it on the show, is because they do a lot of the hard investigative journalism, because you really need to really find out what's going on, because otherwise you can say something that's very foolish. So you are right on that. I want to get back to the false flag. So we kind of talked about the template of it. What I'd like to do is
I'm not finished with the template, if I can continue.
Sure, yeah,
if we
please
go back.
To... Okay, yeah. Okay, no problem.
Okay, so what happens? The bomb goes off. All the images are spread out to get the reaction from people saying, oh, my God, this is awful, this is awful. And I can't remember who the patsy was. The Truth Movement, I think that was the one we wanted to go for this time. So in the media, directly they would say, oh, my God, the Truth Movement, the Truth Movement, the Truth Movement. And normal people would just say, also because it has been leaked out in the weeks upcoming to this event, there will have been things in the newspapers, you know, saying like, oh, the Truth Movement, they've started to have the secret surveillance on their own members, or they might have gun depots, you know, hidden somewhere out in the desert. Or you will see a so-called documentary about the Truth Movement on Sri Lanka, who's turned really violent and who's killed some local people. Do you know, these are the signs to be aware of, because they're there to prepare your subconscious so that you will much more easily buy into the solution that will be pushed on you. So, you know, I don't know about the situation in North Korea. I have absolutely no idea. But what I know that was, once they started moving in on North Korea because of the central bank, and which was the main reason, suddenly there were all these documentaries about how awful North Korea were and how they executed people everywhere in front of school children. And I have no idea. I'm just saying that that, to me, could well be a psyop. you know, to prepare you to say, my God, go there, bomb the shit out of them, you know, go for it, you know.
Well,
and justify a thing that is absolutely unjust, you know, because many of these countries, if you look historically, the so-called terrorist state like Iran, Iraq, Libya, Syria, check out their history. How many wars have they started? How many wars have Iran started? And then you compare with your country.
Sure.
I would say you are up in the hundreds, and they are maybe down to one or two.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
so who is the bully here?
Yeah, one thing, I want to make a couple points. Iran, the last war they started, I think, was in 1798, I believe. It was over 200 years ago. The U.S., there's been like 250 conflicts since World War II, of which 200 were started by the United States. Another point I wanted to make is that what happens is also, this gives you an idea of the length of the planning, because, for example, I saw the movie Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, and in that movie, the bad guys are, of course, the Russians. And you think how long it takes to make a movie. I mean, you're talking a big-budget movie like that. It's probably a year or two, you know. And so, you know, it's just like when before 9/11, the movie Pearl Harbor came out of March of that year, and that movie, I think, took like 5 years to make. So the planning, especially with the big stuff, is really long-term. And people really need to appreciate that because, you know, to psychologically prepare the audience, I mean, especially you've got movies that can take years to make and, you know, putting together, you know, these documentaries, these films, and doing all this stuff, this literally can go on for years. And just like the demonizing, you know, they say first they assassinate your character, then they assassinate you. Or it's like they demonize a group for years before they're going to blame them for false flag terror. So this stuff has got a very long-term component of planning. I wanted to emphasize that. Do you have anything else you want to add about the template?
Yeah, because once the bomb goes off, all the images are spread out to get the reaction from the public to justify what you're going to do. And what they will then do is just move in and totally massacre whatever, if it's the homeless or whatever group they have problems with that they blame for the patsy. So in one single blow, boom, they get rid of them. And by the way, when they're doing it, they might as well take their parents and, you know, brothers, sisters, family, friends. It's just like dictators have done for ages, you know, the same thing. But then after the whole thing has blown off, what happens then is that you send in a technical, what they call a group to collect the technical evidence. Wrong. This group goes in there to clean away the real evidence and plant the false evidence towards the patsy. Very important. You have to look at the technical investigation. This is also like, you see, like 9/11, dust hadn't even settled before they started going in and clean it up, you know. And who cleaned it up? A company called Controlled Demolition, you know.
Yeah.
Surprise.
I wanted to mention on 9/11 a couple points here. 9/11, they actually had, Alex Jones report, they had like a couple hundred dump trucks at the ready before those buildings were exploded. And you image the logistics of having like 200, 300 dump trucks, just half of them be ready. And, of course, they took all of the waste to a place called Fresh Kills, ironically. I guess it's this under heavy guard. They did the same thing with taking away all the evidence for Oklahoma City. I know for the London bombings, where what they do is they very quickly remove the evidence, very rapidly before we can get to it, and they plant their own evidence. The thing is, there's just the amount of detail involved in this. Another point I wanted to make.
And can I just say on that record that many of the steel pillars were cut in exact pieces that fit into these trucks, you know?
Isn't that a
So they
really?
Were pre-cut in the explosion, yeah?
Wow.
They fell down in pieces that could just be loaded on these trucks. Unreal.
Unreal. It's unreal. The thing is, this also gives you an idea of the level of detail of planning. This stuff is very meticulously planned. Just like, you know, having a movie like Pearl Harbor come out, you know, what, 7 months before the bombing, 6 months. The thing is, level of detail. The other thing I wanted to emphasize is the way that they get as much bang for the buck. For example, there was this thing about $300 billion in these fraudulent bearer bonds when he come, like, due the next day. There was all the insider trading where people were buying puts on the airlines. There was the missing gold under the World Trade Center. There was the fact that the previous day the Pentagon announced a missing $2 trillion in the backup records just happened at World Trade Center 7. And what you see is they're getting as much bang for the buck because they're putting all this effort into it. Just like with open borders right now that we're dealing with, it's come out that before the borders were opened, that the Obama declared this wildlife area around the border to be some kind of wilderness preserve. And so even border agents can't go in there with trucks and so forth. It's only for foot traffic. And this allows this great corridor. In fact, there was an InfoWars yesterday. This corridor in New Mexico where basically, legally, because of this executive order, they, even the Border Patrol and the police can't go in there with trucks and things like that. And, they'll do things. What they do is they want to optimize what they're going to get, optimize the damage, optimize the amount of money they're going to make. So they're doing literally dozens, maybe hundreds of things beforehand. So that way they'll get the most literally bang for the buck, like I said, just like with the puts and all these different things. I mean, these are enormous operations.
Don't underestimate the design behind them, the time spent on these major ones. I tell you, it's exactly like you say. And also it's so important for people to understand that the people behind these things are super, 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 super criminals. I mean, on a level that makes Adolf Hitler look like a schoolboy sometimes. It
sure.
is incredible, the level of criminality. And these are the people that you see on TV daily, which
sure.
is very scary. Like dear Mr. Obama looks very nice, have nice words, he's a nice, calm, pleasant voice and so on. His words are actually not his. He reads them from a prompter. But he's
mm-hmm.
just the latest face of this incredibly brutal death and this war machine of death and destruction globally. So all of these things that are being signed, it's like before 9/11, had they not been justified by so-called terror, you would never have accepted what is going on today. If they'd
sure.
gone from, let's say, 1990 to 2014, you would be totally shocked of the change in the world.
Sure.
And all of it has been due to all this terror activity.
Yeah.
Inside
well, also,
terror
yeah.
activity.
One thing also, another very important point, is sometimes the solutions are already starting to be in place before the event. For example, at the Pentagon, they happened to mention when the Pentagon was supposed to hit by the plane, but by the way, the footprint was all wrong. I don't necessarily go into the details of that. But one of the news reports mentioned that one of the areas of the Pentagon hit was Homeland Security. And, well, wait a minute. I thought Homeland Security was a result of the Patriot Act, which came after 9/11. And, of course, the Patriot Act was written well before 9/11. So oftentimes you'll see things where, it's like, these videos that took months to make just happened to pop up right at the last, right immediately after. Or you sometimes will see parts of the solution were already in place beforehand. And just like with Homeland Security, it actually exists before 9/11, as was actually put in the mainstream media, because apparently some part of it was at the Pentagon and was damaged. So I think another classic sign that people need to be aware of is oftentimes you'll find, and this is something after the fact, is where the solution's already been at least partially implemented, maybe not publicly, but it's sitting there ready to go, or it's already been being put into place, just like them doing the executive order on that area in New Mexico, so that way the drug traffickers and terrorists would have a nice little corridor when the borders were open.
I think, once again, very, very important observation that you make. And make no mistake, what is called the New World Order, I think the more correct term would be the Fourth Reich. Because if you look at it, I know this sounds absolutely off the wall, but if you look at it, study history, the same power structure that was behind Hitler and also the other parts of the world, they were financing all sides, but were behind the whole Hitler war machine, the same power structure, the same whole setup, how they got Hitler into power, first with the Reichstag fire, that was 9/11 if you start the parallels. You have the Homeland Security. Hitler did exactly the same The Patriot Act, Hitler had exactly the same. The Obama Yes We Can Youth Movement, Hitler had exactly the same. The whole FEMA camps, Hitler had exactly the same. The whole militarized super soldier thing, Hitler had exactly the same. You know, and one of the main funders, not that he was paying personally, but he was one of the guys who brought the money into the to the Hitler war machine, was Prescott Bush, George Bush Sr.'s father.
Sure.
He was also tried for treason. But he and Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles, Alan Dulles was later very central in the JFK assassination, the Warren Commission. He was also the chief of the CIA who was fired by JFK. These people were so central in starting this whole thing and creating this whole thing that has continued to this very day. People think that, oh, we got rid of the Nazi threat at the end of the Second World War. No, you imported it. Mm-hmm. You imported thousands and thousands of hardened Nazi veterans into the States and Latin America, where they helped build up the OSS that later turned into the CIA, the whole MKUltra thing with Nazis, the whole NASA thing with Nazis, the whole banking system being implemented with Nazis. They're there. They're there, and the mentality for the New World Order is the same that Hitler had. One Aryan race, you know, an elite few, no middle class whatsoever, and then a slave population for their use, you know, but depopulated to only what they need. Very scary.
No, it is very scary. It's very scary where they want to take the world. You can look at their own writings about this. And, of course, you know, George Orwell's 1984 and Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. But those are just the tip of the iceberg. And they've written, you know, terribly about exactly where they want to take the world. And your points about the Nazis are well taken. And you know, that was, you know, financed into being by the City of London and by Wall Street. I mean, that's true. And Prescott Bush was with Brown Brothers Harriman. He was the vice chairman. He's actually fairly a minor player, you know, but nonetheless, he certainly was a financier. And the Bush fortune originally started from the Nazis. That is all very true. The thing is, like I said,
mentioned.
No,
Prescott was the one that opened the door for his son, and that man, George Bush Sr., has really killed his way, I would say, to the top. And inside this elite, he pops up everywhere when you look into these things.
Yeah.
And so, like you say, he was a minor player then, but the Bush family has since then been very central. And if you look in history, so many of these atrocities, including serial killers and false flag on a scale that was totally unheard of before, and so many of these wars is after the Second World War. That is when the whole thing starts, when this group took over in a very violent coup in the States when they killed JFK. The whole long row, in my humble opinion, of presidents ever since that day have been just another phase of the same brutal war machine that took out JFK.
Sure.
They're still in power. That is why it's so important to expose these things. That is why I spent so many years looking into, so deeply into the JFK, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and so on.
Because it
still affects our daily life, and people are not aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the show you when we talked about that and the way you broke it down, and it was the only explanation I've ever seen where someone really got the mechanics of how it was actually done, because when I did some more research afterwards, it's like what you say fits all the known facts, and I don't know anyone else who can actually connect all the dots on that. And that was a very important one, because if you can take off the President of the United States publicly, a very popular man, you know, anyone can be taken out. I mean, you know, it shows their power that they could get away with that, because that's an unbelievably audacious thing.
And they do that on purpose. That was one of the reasons. Sure. They could have dropped a pill in his coffee, you know, and he died of a heart attack. No, they took him out right in broad daylight in front of cameras, in front of the whole world, just saying, we can take out anyone, anywhere, at any time. So whoever you are, just back off and stay in line. you know.
Exactly.
And this is what they've done on a regular basis. When people start becoming too brave and too outspoken, they just make an example, you know, like with Michael Hastings or people like that. When they take a
sure.
step too far, they just make a point, you know. This is what happens to you if you push it, you know, back off.
Yeah, well, there's an old saying, I think it's a Confucian saying, and that is, kill one, scare 10,000. And
That's a very good one.
That's a very good one, yeah. And if you consider Confucius was alive, what, 2,500 years ago, that's managed to stay around all this time is very good. But I wanted to get back to the template. If there's any additional points that you want to add to it or maybe give some more examples of that?
Yeah, for sure. Like we came to the cleanup team and everything. The trial of the patsy, either this person, if it's a person, he will very often commit suicide after having shot other people or blown off the bomb. Very convenient that he ends up dead. Or there would be a trial that would go very fast, you know, within record time he would just be sentenced. And often also you will see that the evidence keeps building up after he's been taken, like in Norway, for instance, when the crazy shooter, Breivik, they say after he was taken into custody, his Facebook kept being updated for half an hour afterwards, you know. Explain that, where his whole testimony, his whole history behind why he had done it and everything, that was added after he had been arrested. Now, go
sure.
figure.
Well,
okay, so
it's...
the timing of these things are very important to see as well. So
yeah.
The patsy is taken out, killed, stuffed away, the whole thing also that if it's one person, they always try to make it out as a lone crazy guy. They want him alone because then by law there's no conspiracy. A conspiracy is when two or more people are involved in criminal activities, hidden criminal activity, you know, trying to accomplish something. And so if he's alone, there's no conspiracy. And if he's crazy, there's no need for a motive. You know, he was crazy.
Sure.
He just went up, shot him. And that's
yeah.
that's the whole thing. So they try to make this patsy. He needs to work in media. He needs to work well in media. In
yeah.
the 60s, it was Russians, East Germans. Then it came. They changed the look of the boogeyman into the Muslim. Because perfect, you know, weird names, dark eyebrows, dark eyes, big mustache.
Yeah. People can't
perfect.
Relate to him because he doesn't
no, exactly.
look like
and
them.
And exactly. especially in the States where people have no idea about what the rest of the world looks like. I mean, if you say he comes from Bahakhnistan or something like that, they just buy it right off, not understanding that it's not even a country. You know, it doesn't matter. Then from the when the Muslims they sort of wore out in like 5-6 years ago, and they started turning it around. So they it became white people. At first they looked geeky looking or crazy, you know, like
sure.
The Batman
yeah.
shooting and
well,
these types of things.
These people
and,
never look like you and me. One point I wanted to make, and I think that's very important.
I just
want
to correct you.
Sure.
Can I correct you on that one? Because lately
sure.
they've turned it even one. They started looking like you and me, and now they even look like film stars and like the Beverly Hills, you know, this guy who claimed that he had problems with girls. I mean, my God, he looked like a model. You know?
Sure.
And the whole idea is that you will start fearing everyone. You know,
yeah,
you can't
exactly.
trust anyone. That's the idea with the whole thing.
Yeah, well, one thing is also is that Santa Barbara shooter, first of all, what kind of a guy at 22 is going to put out YouTube videos saying he's a virgin? I mean, right off the bat. His father is a successful assistant filmmaker, assistant director on big movies like Hunger Games. Somehow I think that would help you get girls. You know, maybe there's something I'm missing here, but it seems to me that, you know, even being in that world, even tangentially, it make it quite easy for you to get girls, it seems, you know, because there's so many women that are so desperate to get acting careers, I mean. But leaving that all aside, another point is that like with the evidence, because I wanted to get back to that with the evidence. I know like with Sandy Hook, some of the they had like the fundraisers that actually were started like a day or two before. I think that Bloomberg got caught on that too, where it's like you
yeah.
see that some of the evidence, you know, like they're preparing ahead where they, you know, where they like put the Facebook post, oh, it was a day early. I mean, for example, with the what was that, with the most recent shooting down of Malaysian Airlines, the second one I might know, MH17, the so-called video, you know, that was somehow proving the Russians did it, was that video was actually shot the day before. And so you'll often see that this evidence was, you know, it's time inappropriate, where it was like we have evidence of that the Russians did this from this video, but the video was actually shot a day before. We had this fundraiser for Sandy Hook, but it was actually announced the day before the shooting. So that's a very important point, is that a lot of the evidence will actually, you know, sometimes will be out there before, or like the guy's in jail, and so how is he posting on Facebook? And so you got these very little fishy things like that are often happening. So I wanted to mention that, where that's another sheer sign. That's kind of after the fact. So they're doing all these different things.
You will see this recurring, but it used to be only people like myself who really dug into very, very deep into these things to be able to find them. But like I say, now these operations have become so sloppy because they're in lack of time. They need to push it up, and they make mistakes. And when it comes to these operations, you know, people are nervous. People are not totally well prepared, and think mistakes like this happens. You know, they upload photos of the Sandy Hook shooting to different databases where the press can buy them. Okay, sorry, they were uploaded on a date before the event occurred. I mean, just a thing like that. How could the photos be there before it actually happened? Just that one should just blow the whole cover. But no. You have the sheriff in Sandy Hook that turns off in three different mass shootings in different states, you know, same name,
yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Well, one thing also I want to point out is this is how anyone can be an investor. Hello? Okay, it looks like he got cut off. Hopefully be back in a few moments. This happens a lot on my show because the kind of stuff I cover, I have very inconvenient things like this happen. I wanted to give an example, another example, and that is, for example, in the Santa Barbara shootings. What happened was you can actually see where these two women are supposedly being interviewed, and one of them asked, is that what I'm supposed to do, director? Because, like, they have these amateur actors who are the crisis actors, and they're supposedly, you know, they're at the shooting, you know, and so you'll often see a lot of slip-ups like this. And one of the important things is anyone can be a journalist, because what you can do is, just like someone caught these two women, one of them under her breath, saying, you know, on air, you know, asking the director if she was, you know, properly emoting. And someone caught that. Someone put that up on YouTube. Someone, you know, informed, you know, the major websites like InfoWars, like David Icke and people like that. And the result was that was able to get out massively. In other words, anyone can help solve these things. And, you know, it's great. Much I respect Ole's work, and hopefully he'll be back on. We had this happen last time where it's cut off like the last 2 minutes of the show. And like I said, I do controversial shows, so this is going to happen to me. But, okay, he's back on, but I wanted to mention that. Okay, Ole, okay, par for the course. I have him with Patrick Jordan. I've had this happen before. But, you know, when you want to cover really powerful material like this, people will do this because, like I said, the information is a star. So I was mentioning while you were gone that I gave the example of that anyone can be a journalist, that anyone can be spotting these things. For example, I mentioned at the Santa Barbara shootings, someone caught some mainstream media, local mainstream media video, which showed two women supposedly there. One of them, you could actually hear her saying on camera that, you know, asking the director if she was doing it right. And so the thing is, there's a lot of little slip-ups that occur, and anyone can catch them, and you can catch those things. You can save the video, and you can go, do things like, do like show tips to like InfoWars or to Drudge Report, or David Icke or any of these big websites out there, and there's a very good chance they'll pick them up. And then just because you were observant and you caught some little lie, some little mistake they made, like a post coming out too early, millions of people will know. And the point is, I want to tell people, this is about empowering them, is that you can be the journalist, you can do these things, you can catch these lies, these little mistakes, and make sure that millions of people find out by just going, by catching them and then informing, you know, these big websites like the Natural News, the InfoWars, the David Icke's, the Drudge Reports. And I wanted to really make that point, and you know, that's what we're talking about during the break.
Once again, very, very important what you say, because you will never find real media doing these things. They don't do what they're supposed to do. It shouldn't be up to someone like me and you to solve these things or devote such a great, so many years of our lives to find out these things that normal police of detectives or crime investigators, they should do that job. But it's at a point where you can't expect anything from the official point of view. We have to do it. We
sure.
have to be the journalists. We have to be the investigators. We have to be the ones finding out these things. And when people find out or notice things like that, it can be of crucial importance that you
Absolutely.
That you share it. Because for me, for instance, I who are looking into so many different, had it not been for people on site or people that have uploaded or contacted me with different evidence, I wouldn't have been able to put together the puzzle, you know.
Sure.
So do not underestimate the power of your actions, what you can do as a single Mr. Smith in the street, I tell you.
Yeah, and this is very important because what happens is there's so much data that comes out that no one's got the time to look through all of it. And, like, you know, something like in InfoWars, a lot of what they do, and you and, you know, anyone exposing the stuff, there's just so much data out there. You don't have time to look through, you know, every single mainstream media, you know, local broadcast and all this, you know, stuff that's going on out there. But what happens is this is where, like I said, the human intelligence, the other people looking, and then you can bring it to the attention because, you know, it's just like one thing I often do is I'll like, put comments on articles, and I'll expand on what they're talking about. Like, there's an article that I was looking on microchipping, and I was pointing how microchipping is part of the global agenda, and it's to electronically enslave us, and I was pointing out a lot of subtleties that the writer had no idea about. And the point is, by doing these things, by adding cogent comments to articles, by, you know, when you're watching TV, and it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, this doesn't make sense. That woman said, you know, asked for the director if she was doing it right. By doing these things and by pointing them out to people like Olay or, you know, like these other places, Natural News, InfoWars, Drudge Report, you know, DavidIcke.com, you know, other websites like that, you can magnify the effect. And so when you do see these little slip-ups, I mean, like a classic example occurred during the Gulf War when they had the first Gulf War with George Bush Sr., where CNN had these unscrambled things where they showed that basically the reporters were actually in Atlanta when they're pretending that they're in Saudi Arabia and they're afraid of a gas mask, you know, a gas attack on them. And what happened was, you know, someone was able to pick them off their satellite dish. They kept them and they released that information, and that was devastating. I mean, it didn't unfortunately prevent that war, but it did so much to erode, to, you know, very deservedly erode the credibility. So everyone out there, everyone listening to this, you can be a journalist. I mean, you know, what I'm doing is nothing special. What Olay is doing, with no disrespect, but we can all work together. And, like, some people can do it professionally full-time, and some people, you know, even doing it on a part-time basis, like just being able to stop a false flag or just knowing, you know, just seeing some little anomaly and reporting that, because this is how the David Icke's, the InfoWars, the Drudge Reports are able to get the truth out. This is how Olay is able to get the truth out. I just wanted to amplify your point.
Oh, I totally agree with you. If you want to, I can go into a little detail about this thing in Copenhagen.
Absolutely.
Just to show if you're aware of the signs that you might be able to make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Have we got time for that?
Absolutely.
Okay. The thing was that I've done this on my own. I'm just an ordinary guy who, for some reason, have become obsessed with trying to liberate the world from this awful thing, you know. So I was invited to the Bilderberg event in Copenhagen. The Bilderberg Group, for some of the listeners who might not know about this, is part of the elite few. It is a group that was started in 1954 in Hotel Bilderberg in Oosterbeek in Holland. And it was created after the Second World War, and it consists of well, how should I say, it was created by people with Nazi root in the global elite who wanted to, through the control of key people in all Western countries, to be able to control that country by country by country and the evolution or the development of the world occurrences through these key people that they were they wanted to control. So through a steering committee, they started inviting people from each and every single NATO country and Western country, where if you have the control of, for instance, if you take a country like Sweden, you only need a handful of people, but in the correct positions, you know, in government, in the legal system,
absolutely.
In media, in banking, in military, in surveillance, the whole thing. You just need a few. And they've been very successful, at, and they've had secret meetings ever since 1954 all the way up until today.
Mm-hmm.
And for many years, they tried to totally hide their existence. You might be able to find just a one-liner in a newspaper sometimes, because they change country and location every single year for these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2013, that was the last year that they couldn't hide their existence anymore, because people like myself and David Icke, many other people who had tried to expose them, had just been ridiculed. We called, you know, conspiracy theorists and just absolute crazy and so on. But it came to a point in 2013 where they could not hide it anymore. So instead, they changed the tactic and they went out public saying, oh, my God, we haven't tried to hide. You know, we're here. We're just a nice bunch of politicians and military leaders, prime ministers, royalties, all of these, meeting in total secrecy. Mm-hmm. Without you having known about it. But this year we will go out totally open, and they were going to meet in Watford outside London.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they had like an open field, like a corral almost, where they got the whole truth movement and media in there, and then they had this meeting in secrecy in this hotel. Anyway, just a week before the Bilderberg meeting, what happened? You had the so-called beheading in Woolwich, which made the whole media attention go to that one, a totally staged event that has absolutely no truth to it, but it managed to get the whole attention away from the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so false flag operations are very, very one of the tools that this group uses, and they're mm-hmm. way up in the power pyramid, way involved in the New World Order. So in 2014, I was invited as a key speaker, not to the meeting, but outside where they were going to meet. They were going to meet at the Marriott Hotel in Copenhagen, and mm-hmm. the key speakers were Lude Rudovsky from We're Change, Dan Dix from Canada, the documentary maker, and the Danish 9/11 professor, Niels Harrit. It was the four of us that was invited there, so I felt very honored. Mm-hmm. And I went there. The thing is that they normally meet, over the years, they've normally met at a hotel, you know, a bit secluded, easy to secure, all parameters, you know, the roads in and out, so that nobody can look into what's going on, and a very low-key, and normally they arrive in black limos, tinted windows, I mean, just like in the movies, you know, the James Bond movies and so on. Flown in by helicopters or normal planes, and then taken in limousines from the airport and to wherever they're going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2014, suddenly they chose this hotel in central Copenhagen. So I found that a bit odd, because security-wise, not an easy place to secure, you know. So when I arrived on the Wednesday, and they were expecting the first members to arrive on Thursday morning. So I was there just 12 hours before they were expecting the first members to arrive. So I asked to be driven from the airport straight to the hotel just to check out the location, you know, to see streets in and out, how the hotel was located, buildings around, the security, all of these, just to get a general idea. And I came there expecting, you know, bomb-sniffing dogs, police presence, maybe people on the rooftops, these type of things. Came there, absolute zero. There was nothing. There were two Danish police officers standing next to the building. Except from that, nothing. And we're just talking a few hours before they would start to arrive, which would be the time for a so-called terror group to do their preparations. Very odd. So I almost thought, my God, it can't be the right hotel. But then outside the entrance, they had parked three black limos with tinted windows, super polished, you know, almost like a business card saying, yes, this is it. This is the hotel. You know, they were just there was a few drivers, but that was it. No people at all, and no police outside. And so I got very confused, and I started walking around in the area just checking out what was going on. And while walking around, they started building like a concrete wall around the hotel, you know, a 1 meter high concrete wall. And then on top, they put like a cloth material so that you couldn't look in. But right in front of the entrance, there was a very open view so that you could very easily see who went in and out of the cars and so on. So anyway, I found it odd. And if you look at the area from an area point of view, it's right by one of the canals going into the Copenhagen harbor. And so if you look from above, you got the canal, then the hotel, then one of the main streets going through Copenhagen, two lanes in both directions. And then on the other side, there's a big, big open space. The size of the hotel itself, it looks like they pulled down a building or something like that, but it has been used as the parking lot for the Danish police headquarters, which are just next to it. Then on the other sides of the parking lot, there were big buildings as well, insurance companies, banks, and other companies. There were all, when I walked around and I looked, knowing who the members of this elite group are, controlled by members of the elite. So I thought, it is so odd. Why would this group that has the best military advisors, security advisors, whatever that money can buy, why would they choose this hotel? I mean, when you look at it security-wise, from the back, you got water, you know, so easy to approach underwater or whatever. On the other side of the water, hundreds of buildings where every single window or rooftop could be a possible threat, you know, somebody with a Stinger missile or rocket launcher or whatever. And then on the other side of the hotel, you had one of the main streets, meaning that every single car that were passing, because they didn't turn off the traffic, would be a possible threat. You know, hand grenade, bazooka, you name it, machine gun, every single one, very difficult to control. So I just got very confused and started walking around there. Also, the building itself is with glass so that you can look in through the glass. You can see people walking in the corridors and the stairs and so on. So once again, very odd choice of hotel. I mean, why didn't they pick an army base or you know, submarine or desert somewhere or a super
an
hotel?
Island. I've often wondered about
an
why
island,
they still pick,
you know. When,
I know the next year's one is being held up in this in Switzerland, like up in the mountains, where it's going to be very physically isolated, it's hard for people to get there.
And this is the typical location they normally use. You know, difficult to get to, difficult to approach, very easy to secure. You know, that is the way they normally do it. So this one was way out of the normal pattern. So I started looking around, and. And since I've got 30 years looking into these kind of operations, I know how they think, I know what they're looking for, I know what they need, you know. So I was just looking around thinking, these people are intelligent. There must be a reason why they chose this one. It must be perfect for something, you know.
Sure.
And then suddenly it just hit me, oh, my God, oh, my God. When I was standing looking around, have you seen the JFK movie when Jim Garrison, he just points out to the different buildings around, you know, the ONI, the CIA, the FBI. Do you know the scene where he's just pointing?
Yeah.
When I looked around in that area, it was exactly the same feeling, because whatever building I was pointing at was controlled by them. So it was a totally controlled area. And I just thought a possible scenario could be to the whole truth movement into this parking, just opposite the hotel entrance. There was this big parking area, and that was fenced in, and it was fenced in a way that you could only approach it from the back streets, so that you couldn't come from one of the main streets. You had to go a certain way to get into that area, and that is where the police are prepared for the truth movement and the media to gather. Okay, and the reason, when you look at it, is that the train station and bus station, the central thing in the whole of Copenhagen, it's just like 500 meters away. So very easy for the police to control people coming by train and bus and so on, to get them into the corral very easily, you know. No problem with that. I can totally see it from a police point of view. They want to secure everything, so I don't put any emphasis on that. But anyway, what I saw possible here was that if you got the whole truth movement into that fenced-in area, then you had the Danish police controlling them, not knowing what was going to happen. You get them in there. In the same time, you get some doubles into the hotel. You know, nowadays, it's with the makeup nowadays that is available, very easy to get somebody look like Henry Kissinger or Queen Beatrix. You know, just put a strange wig on. Get some doubles into the hotel. But otherwise than that, the hotel would be totally empty but filled with explosives, just like in Oklahoma City, in Oslo, and so on.
Jeez.
And the explosives would be directed straightly forward so that they would just go forward on top of the whole truth movement, not to the sides and damage the other buildings.
Jeez.
Now, if this follows the template, that building, the hotel, would have some kind of problems, like we said before, a crack in the foundation, asbestos, a damp thing, maybe because it was too close to the water and so on.
Yeah.
So I would also have secondary explosives under this parking area where the truth movement were, very easily to disguise because it was gravel. So you could do that days ahead, just get everything in place, including extra smoke bombs, maybe also explosive with canister, you know, with blood things, that just to spatter red thing, just to add to the whole impact. Then I would place out four different film crews, one down the street, where you could, with a wide angle, you could cover both the truth movement and the whole side of the hotel with the entrance and everything. I would have aerial photo with helicopters, and then I would have teams in the different buildings that I control to get the different angles, okay?
So they could have very well set up the truth movement. I mean, fortunately, it didn't happen. One thing I wanted to mention, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but, you know, we're kind of running low on time, but first of all, this is also how these things are coordinated through these secret societies, to the Bilderbergs, to the Knights Templar, the Knights of Malta, high-level Freemasons. And the thing is, and I'm not talking about the ones at the local Masonic Lodge, by no means, but the point is, the way you get the police and the media and all these groups to work together is through the secret societies. This is how you have these long-term plans, and these plans come from deep in the secret society, from people you've never heard of, who are actually ultimately running the show and are organizing, coordinating all the stuff. Because the question is obviously how would I get all these different groups to work together? The answer is the secret societies. Another point is also is that I know in the city of London, they have a massive secret underground tunnel system. It's very possible what they could do is they could have the actual members of the Bilderberg group, especially the ones they don't want people to know are there, going through tunnels that they have under Copenhagen or whatever city, and have them get there so people don't know, and then they just have, like, doubles who like, drive in the cars so that, you know, a few obvious people like Henry Kissinger, who everyone knows is going to be there, David Rockefeller, just have their double, so that way, even if there's an assassination, they're not killing the actual person. If they actually get killed by a protester, the actual person isn't dying because they're going through the secret tunnels. I don't know if that's the case in Copenhagen, but just wanted to mention that.
I tell you, in Stockholm, there's exactly around the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, there's this involvement of this tunnel system as well. because many or most of European cities have got this secret tunnel system. It's on the level below the subway systems, one story down. And in Stockholm, it's 628 kilometers. I mean, so we're talking big things. There are trains down there, trucks. The whole thing is set up and very much used by the Gladio network, the Stay Behind network, which is also very involved in this whole thing.
Sure.
But anyway, the scenario was that this was a possible scenario that could be blamed on the truth movement, totally demonize them, and through doing that, they would be able to go out in media once the whole bomb was exploded, blame the whole thing on the truth movement, you know, pumping out these images of blown up bodies and smoke and all of this thing from the site, the whole building demolished, and then go out saying, my God, this truth movement, here we are. They say that they want to create a new peaceful world, and what do? They blow up this poor, innocent elite few that was just gathering to get a cup of tea and a biscuit, and look what they've done. So what we need to do, we need to shut down the internet, you know, we need to censor the internet, because it's on the internet that they spread this awful information. We need to shut down or ban all type of alternative media that are spreading this type of terrorist information. We need to take away the rights to demonstrate. We need to take away the rights to meet in big groups and so on. And when I saw this, I just thought, oh, my God, am I imagining this, or would it be possible that I'm onto something here? So I went straight home to a friend of mine, and I contacted Chip Tatum, I described before, who's been very much involved in these things. And I said, listen, Chip, I've got a very eerie feeling about this. He said, please describe the location. I did, exactly like I did to you. He asked, what about protection from behind the building? I said, absolute zero. He said, no divers, no military vessels, nothing. I said, there's nothing. He said, it's very, very plausible what you say. So get out of there and be very aware of, I don't know why he said it, but strange sounds, wires, things that could include explosives and so on. Then I phoned up Professor Jim Fetzer, who spent his whole adult life looking into false flag and JFK, the JFK and 9/11 and so on. I mean, a very high-up expert. He said exactly the same. I then contacted a man who's been in security forces for 24 years, different security services. He asked similar questions about the escape, the ways, how, and everything. I described it. He said, oh, my God, you're spot on. So after that, I thought, now it's not only me, but it's three heavyweight people that have come to the same conclusion. So what I did was I contacted radio stations internationally. I contacted radio stations in New Zealand, Canada, several in the States and in different countries in Europe. And I got the host to record the time and date when this information was given, just saying that this is what I fear, and if, by God forbid, this should happen, then please know that it's not the truth movement, but it's a total inside job trying to demonize the whole movement. And then these wonderful radio hosts were very quick, you know. I was at it until 4 o'clock in the morning, but they pumped it out, you know, and within a few hours it was just all over the globe. And then the next morning, I went down there quite early, and do you know what I was met with? Right in the middle of the area where the truth movement was supposed to gather, there were a massive big pentagram. Massive pentagram built of trained sleepers, you know, the big. It was like 6 meters, big. So I just thought, oh my God, can you imagine an aerial photo of this whole explosion, dead bodies, smoke, everything, and right in the middle of the truth movement is a massive big pentagram. Can you see the power of that symbolism being pumped out in the media?
Well, the other thing I wanted to point out,
I got a friend of mine, and we just pulled it apart as soon as possible, and thank God nothing happened. So I don't know if this is only speculation or if if we were actually onto a setup that could have been a false flag massacre. The important thing is that nothing happened, but I'm just saying this to show the importance of observing the signs and get it out there, spread it out. If you see anything like this being set up, if you see strange people, strange vehicles, strange setups, film setups that looks like they're going to do a commercial, but you know, looks odd. Film it, and get it up on the internet. You know, pump it out over YouTube as soon as possible.
Absolutely. And I wanted to just amplify, this is the power of one person, that if you figure something out, you know, even, I mean, obviously other people, still they can be sending in tips to these organizations. They do check their mails. You can also get to other people. I mean, let's say, for example, that you had figured that out and you were not, you know, you're obviously fairly well known for this, but even say an average person figured out, people like Paul Joseph Watson and David Knight were there from InfoWars. You get it to them, you know, because they're physically there, you can actually talk to them, and then they can get it out. So the point is that if you figure it out, because part of it is not only do we need everyone's eyes and ears, we need everyone's brains. Because if say someone figured it out and they were, you know, they weren't like you where they have their website and they've done all the stuff, but they could get it to someone like you or get to the other journalists there, and then they would be able to get it out. And so, you know, the point is, like I said, just like it's important to think of yourself as like human intelligence, and I mean that both in both senses of the word, both eyes and ears and intelligence. And so, because like I said, because everyone can contribute to this, and we're all in this together, and, you know, none of us want this to happen. And I'm so glad you did that because, you know, we'll never know, but it does sound like a setup. And you very well might have prevented it. You know, we'll never know, but I wouldn't be surprised if you did.
Neither would I, actually. And the implication, can you just see how the Internet could have been shut down due to a thing like that? So it's extremely important that we become aware, just like you say, and everybody is so important. And please send me, if you see these things, send it to me, I will do everything I can to spread it out to other sources and go out on shows and expose whatever it is I've been sent incredible information through so-called normal people, you know, that. So without you, it is so much more difficult. It is extremely important that we share information, just like you say. No one wants this to happen. I mean, we're all in the same boat, you know. It's our children. It's their future. It's our future. So we're in it together.
I want to emphasize another point, and that is that let's say different people got different strengths. For example, my father is an attorney, and, you know, like, for example, what will happen is there are people who never even leave – who, for example, download, you know, current legislation or go to things like Fed BizOps, and they're discovering all kinds of things that are being reported. Like, they'll show what's in current legislation. This is getting a little bit off topic. But the point is, different people have different strengths and different interests. But no matter what your interest or strength is, there's some way it can be used to help spread the truth and to help disseminate vital information. And, for example, like looking at the NDAA, it's very possible, I don't know the deal, but when you got these, you know, this legislation that's hundreds of thousands of pages, some people like reading that, and they can read it and they can find these things in it. Similar to some people like, you know, surfing the web, and they like going to these, you know, like army.mil site or Fed Biz opportunities, and they're finding all this stuff. For example, you know, Paul Joseph Watts of InfoWars reported on that, you know, FEMA had put a request for these for people to help them, you know, house all these illegal aliens before they opened up the borders. And now, I don't know if he got that or not, but the point is, there's a lot of ways that you can be helping. One, you know, some people like reading legislation. Some people like going to these highly specialized, very pretty dull websites. You know, different people. You know, some people are eyes and ears, or just figuring something out and just communicating that information. These are all very valuable, and you really need to respect. There's a lot of ways of contributing. You know, you can shoot a YouTube video. You can, you know, write an article. There's lots of different things, and this is why, you know, my show, I put a lot of radio shows on, and when, in fact, my very first show was with a radio producer, radio show host, and about the mechanics of doing that yourself, because we're all in this together, and you know, to really emphasize that. So I wanted to just say that, because there's also a way you can contribute if you want to contribute, and there's a way they'll play to your strengths, like if you've got legal knowledge, or if you've got, knowledge with, just being a good researcher, knowing how to research well on the web. There's all these different things that can be done, and then just being able to figure things out and being able to communicate with other people is invaluable. So I just want to emphasize
that. Or just spreading
point.
It, you know.
Exactly.
Keep spreading it as well. You know,
exactly.
The more, I would say, though, that to get back to what you said before, it's important to understand we're being attacked from all kinds of direction at the moment.
Absolutely.
You know, they've gathered strength for such a long time, so it's through food, air, water, media, you name it, they're on us.
Sure.
You know, so whatever your skill is or whatever it is you are good at, just focus on that area and help expose whatever is going on there.
Sure.
But I just want to say my website is Light on Conspiracies. My
sure.
email is info@lightonconspiracies.com. And it's just, please, anything you know or will want to share, or email me. I'll do everything I can to spread it out to the right sources. And
sure.
Also, I have a newsletter. If you
yeah.
want to sponsor what I do,
yeah.
sign up for that. Buy my book, Coup d'etat in Slow Motion. I've written several books and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going to be one of the key speakers at the Open Mind Conference in Copenhagen in a few weeks.
Oh,
but
good.
It's like you say, we're all in it together, and we just need to stop it, but not in a violent way, but by
exactly.
exposing them. They will fall on their own if
exactly.
they are not allowed to get away with it.
Yeah, we're enabling. We've got to stop it. But one thing is, for example, I know John McAfee of McAfee Software, he developed a piece of software that is developed, I forget the name of it, I'm blanking on it right now, which can get rid of all the spyware on your computer, because a lot of that's NSA, where they're able to spy on you. In other words, everyone's got different talents. Some people have got talents with, for example, helping people recover from a lot of the illnesses. Like there's ways of electromagnetically protect yourself from EM radiation. So there's all kinds of different talents that people have. And whatever talent you have, it can be used if you're a little bit clever. Like someone's a great software developer, they can use that talent to develop software that can, you know, get rid of the spyware that's, you know, being used to spy on you 24/7, or, you know, to bypass these things. So whatever it is, you have that talent. Is there any final points that you want to make? We've got about 7 minutes left. Is there any final points that you want to make about the template or false flags in general? I just want to go over that before we end.
Before that, I just want to say I think it's also very important how we spread this information, because many people, when they start waking up, it's a very painful awakening. You know,
yes.
they can't. It's like losing somebody you love, and then
mm-hmm.
the pain of discovering that, oh my God, everything I believed in, what I thought was true, and what I've been standing up for is an absolute lie. So it's
mm-hmm.
a very painful awakening for many people. And
no
and
kidding.
Many, once you wake up, most people become very obsessed with it, and they want to spread it out to everyone. And most of the time in a way that they want to push it down other people's throat. And that, in my opinion, is not the way to go, because
sure.
you will just be surrounded with people that will start avoiding you. So the thing is to see if you can live by example, be one that can stand in balance and handle this type of information without becoming totally filled with this very dark, negative energy, because most people can't handle it. So you need to wake up the people around you, but gently, you know.
Yeah.
Focus on the one in the mirror. You can change you. You can awake. You can do. And then by example, you can inspire other people to do the same. So don't try and force the rest of the world to wake up. I mean, most truth seekers are surrounded by families that are just shaking their heads and saying, oh, my God, he's gone all weird. That
sure.
that is not really the way to go.
Yeah, well, one thing I wanted to emphasize is I went through a very painful wake-up. It actually started right after the death of my mother, and I realized shortly after, in fact, I did a couple shows on this when I first started doing this radio, that internet, that these is part of the eugenics move, was why they let my mom die and how she died that horrible death. So I can really relate to what you're saying. One thing I also want to mention to people is don't try to push on people. If they don't want to hear it, just move on to the next topic. You don't want to get discouraged. Some people want to hear and some won't. One thing I've personally done is, for example, I'm very big on just telling people about websites, and then they'll either go to the website or they won't. And, for example, I went and bought 500, in fact, I'm actually looking at them right now, 500 so-called business cards from Infowars.com, and I've been giving them out to people. I've been leaving them on cars. I businesses have allowed me to, leave like a stack with them and so forth, people who are into this stuff. And then I'm not really pushing anything, but it's like, here, if you want to get some new ideas, you might want to check out this website, very low-key. And then I would just give them InfoWars card, and then, at their leisure, they could check it out. So, there's low-key approaches like that, which are, not easier on people. And so, because like I said, I have done the thing of alienating a lot of people by trying to push this on them. And it's been learning this stuff has been very disruptive for me. It isn't anymore. But there are simpler approaches. And like I said, 500 cards, $31. And, I've given them out. And, for example, another thing about their InfoWars magazine, I had 50 copies and I left them at, places where they have like these local magazines, like these weekly throwaway magazines. I leave them there. I leave them at Starbucks, barbershops, places like that. So you can do a lot of things like that where you're not even really having directly even confront people if you don't feel comfortable, where you can just buy products like that, and then you can let them do the work if they choose to. Because I feel if you give these business cards or this magazine, for example, I've used InfoWars because that's the one I most focus on, because it's such a powerful website. You give those things out, and it's like planting seeds.
Exactly. It's like I've done hundreds of radio interviews, but normally I don't speak about these things at all. I mean, the people around me, they don't hear me speak about these things at all.
Sure.
Unless they ask me, and then I say, are you really interested? Well, if you are, here you go, So, yeah. So it's a matter of finding out, is the door open? If the door is open and this information is welcome, then there's somewhere that you can plant the seeds and where it will really make a difference. Instead of you standing outside hammering on the door saying, like, Fred Flintstone, Wilma, let me in, that type of thing, doesn't work. So I think your approach is a beautiful way of doing it, absolutely.
So, yeah, because I want people who do get discouraged to know there's some very simple ways. And also, you can just simply point them in the direction, just like this, or like the business cards, or like the InfoWars magazine, where you buy 50 of them for like $50. You can leave them in places like I said, like a Starbucks. You can leave them in beauty salons, and so even people you don't know, and it's just calm and rational being presented. Also, quite honestly, you've got someone like an Alex Jones or someone such as yourself. You're much better presenting it than I probably would because you focus on full time, and so I would rather just give people, look, you might want to check out this website. Here's a business card. And they check it out. They don't. And if they do, the things are going to be very well organized. It's going to be very well thought out, very well researched. It's not going to be me trying to condense it all down or figure out what to say. It's like I'd rather have the pros do that in some ways, personally. Because when I try to do it, it gets kind of jumbled.
And also, by financially supporting, like in this case, InfoWars, by buying from them, you help keep them on track, Because, like, I'm doing this full-time, but I'm just an ordinary guy. I have a family to feed, financially I'm on my knees. But it's so important to do this, so I don't really see I have so much of an option. So if you don't know how to help in other or do in other way, support me, support you, support people who are willing to stand in the line of fire. Just, because even small sums that looks ridiculous maybe can make a massive difference for someone like myself. And to be able to keep the focus, and because when you are in this situation and I've been mangled, by a lot of different security forces and stuff like that, and not a nice way to go. But it's easy to lose hope sometimes, and then I know I got a donation once of $5 from it came from the starving film students in California, and I just thought, things like that, $5, but from them it just made me, oh, come on, back on your feet, back in the saddle again, so you can really make a difference. Everybody can make a difference.
absolutely. I've done things. I've given some money, for example, to Janice Barcelo, who's done some really great work on you know, birth trauma and what's going on with that. And I gave money to the People's Voice, which unfortunately is no longer with us. Rest in peace. I'm very disappointed by that. And, you know, I've done what I can. And even if you don't have a lot of money, give a few dollars and do what you can. Anyways, any final – okay, I guess we're off the air. So, okay, any final comments? okay,
any more comments?
Off the website. Okay, well, we're off the air, but we can go a few more moments longer. So, okay, I guess that's it then.
If I can just finish with a little prayer.
Sure.
I'm not a religious person, but there's this prayer that I really love, and it goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed this. And your website, once again, is Light on Conspiracies, and .com, lightonconspiracies.com. And with that, this is Roger North signing off for True North. Thank you very much, Ole.
Thank you very much, Ole.
You're most welcome.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.